Okay, gotcha.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Glory be to God, the Almighty Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Elder G. Bedard coming to you from Warren, Ohio, watchman on the wall, standing tall, looking into the future through the word of the living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to know the future, look in the word of God. It tells you exactly what's getting ready to happen on this planet, getting ready to tell you from the time that God created the heaven and earth, a clear cross to the book of Revelation that was written by John the Revelator in 95 AD. He covered 6,000 years, 7,000 years, because he includes the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. Don't try to go look at a funny book or a comic book or Good Housekeeping. All your future is in the word of God through Jesus Christ. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. I'm breaking on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. And then I'm gonna roll on over there in Texas. Where Brother Tim Jackson is going to come on in with me tonight. Praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man that knows the word, man that preached the word, man that lives the word. And we're going to let you know what's getting ready to happen on this planet. It's late in the evening. The sun is going down. We don't, me and Brother Elder don't have no time for play. We're going to tell you the Bible truth. So help me through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are not going to beat around the bush. We're going to tell you just like it is. And we're going to tell you what's going to happen from here to the end of the millennium reign. It's all in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's all in the Bible. We are not trying to give you a new interpretation. We're not going to try to give you no new revelation, because all the revelation is going to be revealed in these last and evil days, because we are in the last days. Just before I get started, I want Brother Tim Jackson to give us a prayer. And then he give us a prayer. He's going to hand it back over to me, and I'm going to kick it off, amen, tonight. And he's going to synchronize right on in there, coming from the word of God. Go ahead, Brother Tim.
Amen.
Amen.
All glory be to the Most High. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for another blessed day. Thank you for our life, soul, health, and strength. Thank you for most of all our eternal salvation. Thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our family, friends, and loved ones. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for sending your son. We are grateful for his obedience and shedding his blood, dear Heavenly Father, so that we may have life and have life more abundantly, and that we may receive eternal life, dear Heavenly Father. We just come praying tonight through your Holy Spirit that the word be spoken to save men's souls. To dear Heavenly Father, we're dedicated to your word. Amen. We just pray for deliverance and understanding of your word. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you for your service to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think Tim been telling me he preached Sunday morning, and man, he said, I'm gonna let him tell you what happened Sunday morning, but some souls came in. Amen. He can tell you exactly how many. I'm not gonna try to quote what he told me, but I know I was joyful when he told me about converts came in and it's getting around in the area that these young youth got saved, and I hope it just make it more plain to the youth today to receive Christ in their life, because our main goal is to let you know there is salvation. There is salvation through Jesus Christ, and we're going to let you know tonight, amen, there's another opponent that's against your salvation. He don't like your salvation. He's trying to stop you from receiving salvation. And after you receive salvation, he'll try to make you deny that you don't have salvation. But see, he's a liar. He's a low-down, dirty liar. We're going to kind of break him down tonight. Amen. Let you know where he started all this crap and what his main aim. His main aim for the world and for humanity is to damn every soul that was born on this planet. That's his goal. That's what he want to do. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he's using all kind of skeptics. He's using all kind of techniques. His greatest weapon is deception. 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 He's deceiving people every day and get them to not believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's denying God when he already know he was in heaven with God. He was one of the chief angels, and we're going to talk about that. And now he's a degraded dragon. He's the degraded, dilapidated, fallen cherubim from heaven. And he took, now we've been over this once before, but he took one-third of the angelic host from heaven, and they were dethroned and cast to the earth. And I was trying to figure out today, I can imagine, I wonder how many angels, one-third of the angelic host followed Lucifer, one-third. Now, I've tried to figure out how much is one-third of how many billions of angels and cherubims and seraphim God created. Oh, man, it boggled my mind. I couldn't even think of it. But I tell you one thing, one-third of heaven must have been a whole lot of angels, because we see the condition of the world today. And the reason the world is in such condition that it is in today, because people are following Satan. They worship Satan. They honor Satan. So the world is in a state of chaos. It's confused. People don't know why they're here. People don't know where they're going when they die. People don't want to know where they're going when they die. They want to try to live this life in pleasure, in enjoyment, and then die and go to heaven. But see, you can't just live any way you want to and then die and go to heaven. You must, and we're gonna put this to the pinpoint. Ye must be born again. There's only one way you could be born again, and that is through no other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the key. He is the ruler. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one that made and created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. He is the I Am. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is self-existence. He don't need nobody. He don't have nobody to try to direct him, because he is infinite. He is infinite. He knows all things. He sees all things. He is everywhere. There's nowhere he cannot go where he's already been. He's a what? He's a self-existent one. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And tonight, we're going to try to read and take our time. Amen. I'm going to read a few scriptures out of Isaiah. I got to go here because this is in the Word of God. And I want to let you know exactly who is the God of this world today. Who is the God of this age? Who is ruling Amen. Men's lives? Who is control of the government? Who is control of the secret societies? Who is control of all these man-made organizations? Who is in control? There's one thing Satan wants to be in control of. He wants to control the church. But he can't control the church, because the church that's born of God is not under the influence of Satan's power. Amen. When you become a born-again Christian, you're no longer under the power of Satan, because the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is embodied in you through what? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Satan has been trying to destroy the church ever since Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Satan wants the church, but he can't get the church, because whoever is born of God will never perish, will never be defeated. Why? Because he's born of God, born of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. And those that are on fire for God, those that's looking for Jesus Christ to come back, those that's loving people, those that are trying to tell people Jesus Christ is coming back soon, and let's prepare ourselves, those that are praying in the spirit, those that are fasting and praying, those that are preaching the word of God. And you hear what I said? I said preaching the word of God. I'm not talking about no theology. I'm not talking about motivation speeches. I'm not talking about a bunch of yang-yang. Amen. They don't have a hill of beans. We're going to talk about what the plan of Lucifer is. Here it is. 14th chapter of Isaiah. Amen. 14th chapter of Isaiah. You got your Bibles with you? Amen. The 12th verse. The 12th verse. 14 and 12. Amen. It says this. This is written by Isaiah. Isaiah, one of the most dynamic prophets, major prophets in the Bible. And he describes exactly what's going on in the world today and where all this here coming from and who the main cause and what's the end of Lucifer going to be. What is his main job to do? He had a position in heaven higher than any angel that was in heaven, and his name was Lucifer, which means the son of the morning. He was illuminating light. Woo! He was a bright light. He was next to the throne of God. He was next to God. He wasn't God. No, he wasn't God because God created Lucifer.
Amen.
I wish you could understand this because a lot of people think, you know, God made the devil. No, God didn't make the devil. He made him Lucifer. He gave him a choice. He gave him a holy attribute. He was holy. He was righteous. He knew God. When God brought him into existence, he looked at God. He's saying God. God gave him a position to be the protector of his throne. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Woo. Right. When you talk, when God give you a position to be second, to watch his throne while he's absent from the throne. And see, heaven ain't no small pine box. Heaven.
Amen.
The whole earth. Now, some of you think heaven is a little square box where God's going to save a couple of people and stick them in there. No, whoa. There's so much beyond this earth. There's so much beyond the universe. There's so much beyond the galaxy and the God. Woo, will boggle your mind. God is everywhere. He fills the whole universe. He is all by himself. He don't need nobody else. But one thing I think about God, I love God. You know why? Because God is love. God is kind. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. He don't want to see nobody perish. He don't want to see nobody go to hell. And by the way, hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for God loved him so much. And you know what I'm getting ready to say. You know what I'm getting ready to say. John 3:16. But I'm not going to say that right now. What I want to do is say this. 4:12. How art thou fallen from heaven? O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. The nations today are weakened by faith. That's why you got so much crime. That's how come you got so much war. That's how much you got so much killing. That's how much you got so much all kinds of stuff that's going on in this planet. And it all started when Lucifer thought he could do what? Now, he thought he could position. He thought he could grab God by the arm and wrestle him off the throne and dethrone him and put his foot on his head. That's what he thought he could do. And he went around into heaven and began to instigate to the other angel that was in heaven because they were holy angels. Whenever God creates something, whenever God makes something, he makes it holy. He don't make it unholy. He make it righteous. Why? Because he's perfect. He's righteous. He can't stand wrongdoing. He can't stand sin. He can't stand nothing that's opposite of holiness. He can't stand it. And so what happened? Old Lucifer said, how art thou cut down to the ground and weaken the nations, the black nation, the white nation, the Chinese nation, the Jewish nation. All the nations of the world today are weak because of Lucifer, because he hates God. and he wants to break down the nationality. He wants to break down the nation. He wants to tear down kingdom. He wants to build kingdom. And then when he builds them, he tears them down because he's a wreck. He's a wreck. This is what he said. This is what Lucifer said before he fell. He said, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will." There you go with that I stuff. "I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going above the angels. I'm going above God. I'm going to dethrone God. I'm going to eliminate this here creator." And he had a foolish thought. And that foolish thought came from beauty. This is what he said. "I will ascend to the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the size of the north." In other words, he said, "I'm going to sit in the north side of heaven." And see, heaven is up, right? And the earth is round. If you're on the south pole and you point up, you're not pointing up. Because up is north, south is down. If you're on the side of the earth and you point out towards the sky, you're not pointing directly north. So heaven is a location. It's located in the north. And by being located in the north, old Lucifer said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'm going to be like the Almighty. I'm going to be like the Most High." What you say, I'm saying, this critter, this beautiful angel, so beautiful that, man, he said, he thought, man, that beauty because I'm beautiful, I have a right to exalt myself. And he exalted himself. But if you read the 15th verse, it says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to what? Hell. To the size of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake his kingdom?" Woo! When God eliminated him, and before God eliminated him, Satan had went through the corridors of heaven and put a bug in all the angels' ears, and some of them accepted the deal. And the deal was, if you will follow me, if you will come on my side, I will give you a position in my kingdom, because I'm going to dethrone this creator, this omnipotent power that he had. I'm going to dethrone him. And since I'm going to dethrone him, I want y'all fellas to go with me. I want you to leak on my side. I want you to come on with me. We're going to rule the heavens. I'm going to be the boss man. And God looked at him. And, you know, God, I can see him sitting on the throne, shaking his head. "Don't do it, Lucifer. I know what you're doing, because I'm almighty. Don't you realize before you got here, I was already here? Don't you know nobody made me? You know ain't nobody going to run over me? I'm a holy God. I'm a righteous God. I'm a loving God. And I'm a merciful God. Don't do it." But Lucifer, through his beauty, and let me tell you, beautiful is deceitful. To be beautiful is deceitful. And people today have got a touch of how Satan takes beauty, because Satan takes beauty because he's right. Beautiful. You can do anything you want to. You see a beautiful woman,
right.
Woman. You see a man. You see beauty. There's a lot of beautiful people on the earth today. And some of these people think they're so beautiful and think that because they're so rich and they got beautiful things, they think they can rule and take over the world. They think they can control people. They think they can run people's lives. Well, this same old spirit that became defiled is hovering the earth right now. Evil spirits are in the air. Evil spirits is not everywhere, but they're everywhere where they can cause confusion and strife. And let me tell you, the world is full of demonic demons and devils.
Amen.
And they are flying. They are flying all over the world. They work in witchcraft, hoodoo, and all that Satan had, it became an adversary. And since he became an adversary, he's the adversary of all time. He wants to what? Dethrone God. And he's still at it. He's still at it today. And guess what? Some of us in the churches today, men want to be God. Men want to rule people. Men want to claim themselves being deity. Men want to be so much of a Bible scholar and don't know nothing about the Bible. They'll get up and preach everything but the word of God. They'll tell people anything. Why? Because Lucifer knows. Woo! Lucifer knows the word of God better than any theologian you can think of. He knows what he's getting ready to do on this planet. He knows what he already done.
Amen.
He knows that his right. future, he don't have a future. And his future is hell fire. He knows he's going to hell. And let me tell you something else about this here, this beast, this demonic, a fallen angel. He cannot be redeemed. He cannot be saved. He cannot be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And all the angels that follow him are damned forever. They will never, never enter the kingdom of God ever again. He's done. He knows he's done. And he knows one thing else. He knows you got a soul. You got a soul that's going to live forever. You got a soul that it only belongs to you, and God owns that soul. God wants that soul. God wants to save that soul. But the devil said, no, whatever you do, don't get saved. No, man, live your own life. Do your own thing. Try to live off of your beauty. Try to live off of your money. Try to live off of your prestige. And the devil got the world in such a mess, messed up from top to bottom, from the floor up. From the bottom up to the floor up. And guess what? And I'm going to turn it over to the brother. But I want to implant this in your mind and in your spirit. Every day you wake up, the devil waiting for you. He can get in your sleep. He can get in your children. He can get in you. He can get in your mind. He can cause you to say things you ain't got no business saying. He's got anger. He got temperament. He do all these things, and he'll put that stuff in you if you don't have no kind of protection. And the only protection that you have on this planet, the FBI can't watch you. The CIA can't watch you. There's no organization that could protect you like the blood of Jesus Christ is the only protection you got. I'm telling you the truth. I know that for a fact. Man.
Amen.
It's right. And listen here. This is what it said. It said this. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the king? All right. I'm going to get ready to close. I'm going to get over to Brother Tim. In Genesis 1 and 2, between Genesis 1, first chapter, the second verse, if you read that second verse right in between, the first and third verse, you'll see, and the earth was out formed and void, and darkness was upon the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Right there is where Satan fell from heaven. And
all his
angels hit earth. And when it hit earth, he tore it apart. He ripped it apart.
Right.
He caused darkness to come up on earth. The earth was without form, and there was no light. There was no form. But when God created the heaven and earth, he didn't create it like that. Satan got mad at God.
Right.
He got mad and he tore it up. And when he tore it up, he said, now look at this. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you anyhow. I'm going to get you some way because you dethroned me. Because I wanted to take your place. And you know good and well Satan didn't have a sense he was creating with. And what deceived him, what deceived him was beauty. And I'm going to say this.
Right.
I have to say this. I'm going to tell you. I like beautiful women. And a woman can look beautiful. A woman, with all that beauty that woman got, she can deceive just about any man that don't know Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. She have brought down men by the dozen, by the thousand, because of her beauty,
right.
Because of a bust line, because of a hip walk. Come on now, because of long hair, the lipstick, the earrings and the ear bobs, we used to call them, that tight dress she got on, that walk that she got.
Right.
Woo! make a man make his tongue hang out. Men have fell down fat on the face and been led to the slaughter like a dumb ox because of a beautiful woman. And Satan got that same idea to deceive people. In the churches, women were, whoo, maybe they could put on something and the preacher be preaching. She got that short dress on. And let me tell you, if he ain't got his mind on the word of God, amen, he can't preach the sermon right. That's why a woman cannot
be
in the front with a dress all high above the knees where you can see all, you know, all that stuff that you ain't supposed to see. Amen. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all are like, man, don't tell me. I'm a man. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, if the grace of God and the Holy Spirit wouldn't feel with the Holy Spirit like I'm supposed to, good God Almighty, I'd be out there in the streets right now. Come on, y'all. But I'm serving God. I'm serving. And Satan is tempted. You're tempted in every way. Why? Because he wants to take you off the track. But what we're going through now, Satan has been on the earth and the prince power of the earth, air, for 6,000 years.
That's
now,
right.
We've been in the last 6,000 years. Since 6,000 years will be fulfilled, what, in 2029. That'll be the last end of the 6,000 years. And now you can see how bad shape the world is in. It ain't over yet. But Gog and Magog is not over yet. It's kind of quiet down a little bit. But it ain't over. Satan is ready to do his thing. And God said, all right, Lucifer. All right, Beelzebub. All right, dragon. Get your boys together. UFOs, aliens, y'all get all that stuff together. Because they are fallen angels. And they're going to come and invade this earth. And God is
right.
For Satan to invade this earth. And a lot of people say, don't let him come down here. Well, the reason God is going to let Satan take over the world because the world in general do not want Jesus Christ. And
that's
you,
right.
If you don't want Christ, the only thing God has to offer you on the second choice is let you have Satan. And the world today is crying out, Lucifer, witchcraft, voodoo, hoodoo, all kinds of magicians. Warlocks are walking the face of the earth right now, telling people the futures and telling everything what's going to happen. But they can't tell you nothing outside of the Bible, because the Bible says there's a time coming when Lucifer and all his cohorts will be cast into the lake of fire. And all those that followed him, all those that wooed him, all those that did his work, all those that did all the wickedness are going to follow him. And Satan says, I'm going to try to get everybody I can. I don't care who you are. Black, white, yellow, green, ugly, pretty, rich, poor. But Jesus Christ said, I got a remedy. I got an eternal remedy. I can save your soul.
Trust Amen. Me.
I can save you from death, hell, and the grave. And the world is saying today, no time for that. I got to do my part. I got to do everything I can to have a lot of fun. But what I'm saying, I wanted to plant that in there, let you know what this devil is like. He's low down, dirty. He's merciless. He don't care nothing about babies. He don't care nothing about young people. He don't care nothing about nobody. His main job is to destroy your soul and damn your soul into hell. And the only way you can be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way I'm saying, you need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins, because the world is going to get worse and worse. And as I get over to the brother, I want you to think on what I just read, because when he come back, I got another scripture that I want to bring out to you to show you what he actually looked like, amen, before he fell. Brother Tim, go ahead and see if you can work with that a little bit.
Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. I do apologize. Amen. The weather's been changing here in Texas,
uh-huh.
And it does that between February and April.
Uh-huh.
Amen. We don't get solid heat until May, and because the weather's been going back and forth between hot and cold, so I do apologize. I hate to acknowledge that Amen. Amen. The what do you call it? Allergies, I guess you want to call it, has been acting up.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I know what you mean. Okay.
Amen. So I'm going to do the best that I can. Amen. I didn't want to skip out tonight. Amen. Now, as the brother said earlier, got some good news. Amen. I was invited to preach this past Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. The Lord blessed me to teach on eschatology and end times, the same thing that we're preaching now, that we're teaching now. Amen. I preached at a church. Amen. And two souls got saved, two young men. All glory to the Most High God. Brother, I am still feeling the high of that. Amen. I was just so happy. I told my wife today is a beautiful, wonderful day. Amen. All glory be to the Most High God. I thank him for using me and for being there at that moment,
Amen.
At that time, to save souls, because that's what we're here for, to win souls. These young men, 28, they were brothers, age 22 and 27, came up, received salvation. And guess what? After that, the 27-year-old, his girlfriend, they want to all come back, her and her two friends, so it was three young ladies, want to come back and be baptized. Amen. And so according
amen.
To the grandmother, amen, brother, all glory be
Great.
To the Most High God. All glory to Yahweh. Amen. We thank for his son, Yeshua. Amen. The grandmother said that she has one other grandson that's their other brother. She's going to try to get him to come back. So, amen, I may go to the church again this weekend and show up. Amen. I don't know if they'll be back there, but I may just show up anyway because, amen, it's important that, amen, then once people become saved, that we do the best that we can to cultivate them. I did give them my number. So anytime you need anything, any questions, any concerns, feel free to give me a call. Amen. I was so grateful that these young men became saved. Amen. And, you know, just a joyous time, amen, because what sometimes people will try to do, family and friends in particular, once a person said they acknowledge Christ, they'll try to come in and say, oh, you ain't saved. I thought you were saved. You still doing this and doing that. Let me tell you something. Salvation is instantaneous, but change isn't. Amen? That's
come on,
why
preacher.
Paul said we must work out our own soul salvation. We got to work out for our own issues. Christ said, I can give you eternal life, but your works, you have to work that out. In other words, a person has an issue with his mouth, you got to work on that. If you got an issue with your eyes, you got to work on that. You got an issue with the
come
things
on,
that you do, you have to be delivered from that. Now, the good thing about that, and I told the young men this, I told them this, I said, the Holy Spirit is already in you. Amen.
Yes.
When you become
Amen.
Saved, the Holy Spirit hits you faster than you can think, faster than you can blink. You're already saved. What I told them is that you'll begin to say, you just go about your everyday normal life. Don't worry about it. Because He's already renewing your mind and your heart. And you will begin to notice over time that you have a distaste for worldly things. You won't desire to want to go and do some of the things that you used to do. You'll be like, man, I don't enjoy these things no more. That's because that's the Holy Spirit working on delivering you. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, and then you will begin to hold Christ's hand, and you begin to walk in the Spirit, and you begin to notice that, you know what, I don't desire to do those things no more. Amen? And so
come
that's
on,
how
preach.
Salvation works. Amen. A lot of times people think, oh, well, see, I thought you were saved. Man, I told them young men, and I had to make sure that when church was out, they had left a little early before we dismissed. I had to go catch them before they got away. I wanted to talk to them and let them know, don't let nobody tell you you're not saved. See, that's the
come
problem.
On, preach,
because people confuse people. Oh, you ain't saved. You can lose your stuff. They confuse. Don't tell people that. I told them, don't let nobody tell you you're not saved.
Nobody.
I said, you young men, go on and continue your life. Because when the trumpet sound, your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life.
Lamb
and
Book
when Christ
life.
Come
amen.
Back, amen, he's going to get you.
Amen,
and those young men, we shook hands, amen. I embraced the brothers, amen. And those brothers left. And I gave them my number. But I want to say, I want to share that because people need to understand and hear that about how salvation works, especially for young people, because a lot of times if you're not raised up in church, and because we understand some of these young people, especially this day and time, they're not raised up in church. A lot of them
come
hardly
on
ever go to church. Amen. They hardly ever see
that's
a church.
Right.
Maybe a few, especially the men, especially our boys. Amen. But the girls, you know, the women, they're always forced to go to church. And I tell people, man, take your kids to church. I don't care if they're boys or girls. Keep them in church. Because, see, when you're raised up in church, you have a more closer relationship, especially if you talk salvation. Amen. But
yeah.
if you're not taught that, you don't have the relationship. And so they're not lost, but they're going to the world confused, thinking, well, maybe I'm not saved. You know, maybe that wasn't, and we don't want that. Amen. We want our people to grow our relationships. See, that's the thing. People may be saved, but they don't have a relationship, and they don't really understand salvation.
Yeah.
Amen. We want them to have a relationship. So, in other words, we want Christ to come in and dwell there. We want them to stay there. Amen. We want them to come into your heart, and you walk with them constantly. Amen. Your life, your whole life will change. I was preaching and told them, but I said, I wish I had got saved when I was a teenager, when my dad had told me to. But I didn't really understand salvation. Amen. I didn't really get it. I just knew they said, hey, you got to live right and do this, do that. I was a young teenager. I didn't understand all that. And when I became an adult, when I got 18 and 19 years old, well, I wanted to run the streets and have fun like my brothers. I was the youngest of six boys. So, again, I didn't understand. I said, well, I'll do all that stuff later. You know, I'll wait till I'm older or something. Amen. And that's how we think as young people. Oh, I'll do that later. Right now, I'm going to go have fun. But, see, that's like the brother said. This is the trickery of the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's a liar and a deceiver. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. What he'll do, he'll put all these entertainers, these athletes, these people who are famous and got money, and they'll say all kind of crazy stuff to confuse you. Amen. I was watching a show today, this famous comedian, I ain't gonna even say his name, and he said one of the most ridiculous things I ever heard. He said something like, well, this is what he said. He said, everybody think they're going to heaven, but they're not. Not everybody going to heaven. Now, on that, he was right. He's correct. He said, everybody ain't going there, but he said that you got to be invited. You have an invitation. He said he believes your loved ones before you die before you so they can get you into heaven. But, see, there are some people who, But, see, there are some people who will suck that nonsense up. There are some people out there that believe that nonsense. That, oh, man, my grandmother's going to get me in. No, your grandmother's not going to get you in. Your papa, your daddy, your pastor, whoever cannot get you into the kingdom of heaven. You must come to the cross and a throne of grace on your own. The man, the devil is out here tricking people. And like the brother said, there are so many false religions. And I said the same thing in church this past Sunday. I said, do you know there are so many religions that use the Bible?
Yeah, they use the Bible.
They use the Bible, and all Satan do is confuse. Because Satan know he's lost. Satan know that him and all those angels, fallen angels and demons are going to hell, and they're going to the lake of fire. He knows that. So the only thing he can do is get billions and billions on top of billions of people to go to the lake of fire with him. So they won't be by themselves. Tormented, like the brother said, for all eternity. Man, we got to preach this thing. And, man, brother, I'm really thinking about doing some things to change up the game. Amen. It is highly important that we get out and we preach the word. Amen. Because this is the type of things that we need to do. This is the type of things that must be done because the devil wants to play tricks and games with people, especially our youth. Man, youth is on drug. Man, I tell you, man, since I've been driving, brother, I tell you, I ain't never seen so many people smoke weed. I just gotta see it. These young people smoke so much weed. Is this all young people do? They just want to smoke weed and get high. The devil is really attacking the youth.
Wiping them out,
bro. I mean, even when I was young, I'm like, you know, the kids.
Yeah.
I never did do it. I ain't never smoked weed in my life, and I don't want to smoke it. But I remember, you know, I had friends, you know, they were smoking every now, but they wouldn't smoke it every day. They wouldn't smoke it all the time. It's like every now and then, maybe once or once every other month, you smell it on them. But now, man, these kids, they is just, oh, my gosh. Brother, you talk to anybody under the age of 30, these young men, and I'm talking about of all races, even the women, man, it's like that's just the thing. And there like, if you ain't smoking weed, you are square. I'm just like,
you're
Lord, I, man, this, yeah, I feel so bad for this young generation because Satan is using, he's throwing everything that he got at the world because he knows his time is short. He knows that it's about to be over with, and he's using so many different things to act like he's God. He's using the fake and false, so many false prophets out here. He's using that.
Man, what
he's
you
coming
about.
Yeah. He's using so many different angles. He's using fame and money, like you say. He's using fame and money.
And money.
To act like it's God-like. He's using beauty to act like this is God. Oh, and this is salvation over here. See, I'm pretty. I look good. I remember always boast and brag about how good-looking of a man he was. And I don't know if he is. Maybe the women feel that way about it. I'm a man. I don't know. I don't get into judging other men. So maybe he is.
Man.
But what I'm saying is that don't mean that that's the right path to God. Just because you beauty and you look good or you fine or you sexy, that ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. What we teach, what me and Elder Bazaar teach on this earth is salvation. It's clean cut and dry and straight to the point. Ain't no in between.
Come on, ain't no gray.
It's straight black and white. Ain't no games and gimmicks. Ain't no send me $1,000 here. Send me $50 here. I'll send you a cloth. And all is all. It ain't none of that. It's Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to read it to you real quick. Amen. Before I get into some scriptures, I want to get into talking about some more things. Amen. The brother, what the brother's talking about. Amen. But Romans, the 10th chapter.
10 and 9.
Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess, when you confess something, you have to open your mouth. You can't confess, or you have to be a person that communicates confession. So even if a person can't really talk, if they're a deaf person, there's a way to communicate and to express your confession. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, Yahshua, and shall believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That verse contains nothing of the sort of work. Nowhere in that scripture does it say you got to be good. You got to work your way. You got to work this thing. The Bible ain't said that. The Bible ain't said you got to live your way a certain, your life a certain way to get into it. The Bible ain't never said that. Folks attach stuff to the word, and it ain't even God. It ain't even the word of God. People just making up stuff because they want to try to be gatekeepers. You can't be a gatekeeper for God. God don't need you to gatekeep. The kingdom of heaven, the salvation is a free gift.
That's
why it's called a gift, because a gift is free. If I give Elder Bazaar a gift, I ain't going to ask him for no money for it. Why you got to pay for it if it's a gift? It's free.
Come on.
Salvation is free, and it's eternal. It's an eternal gift. Amen? So watch this. Amen. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I'm going to stop right there because I want to keep it clean and dry, because I don't want to get too into, because I know we go over salvation and break it down so much, but I just want to show you that's it. That's all you got to do to be saved. Hey, amen. Just like these two young men, I tell people all the time, man, when I preach to the young people, it's like they get it. But it's the people who have been conditioned by false prophets. They've been conditioned by incorrect teachings all their life. So when they hear this once saved, always saved, when they hear that salvation is free and easy. They just can't comprehend it because somebody is taught that they have conditioned their mind. It's kind of like a slave. It's kind of like a person who's been conditioned all their mind, all their life. Their mind's been conditioned that, oh, you got to do it the hard way. If you don't do it the hard way, you ain't doing nothing. I'm like, Lord have mercy, who has deceived these folks?
Come on.
Amen. But it's like, man, I preach to the young people, all they come forward. Because you got to understand, they hadn't had all this nonsense and this incorrect teaching and false teachings put into them. So they understand that when I tell them, all you got to do to be saved, people are searching. Right now, like Daniel said, knowledge shall be increased. And people will go to and fro. People are looking. At this day and time, people are hurting, and they are searching for the truth. They are searching for a way
out. Yes, Lord.
And this is your way out. I said, if you want to miss the great tribulation, if you want to miss hell and the lake of fire, this is how you do it. Amen?
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So,
amen.
Again, not boasting or bragging, but just preaching the truth. It ain't boasting or bragging. It's just speaking the truth. Amen. And so I said to myself, amen, I'm going to pray to God that he bless more ways to get out and reach the youth and just reach people in general. Don't get me wrong. I'm not overlooking anybody of any age, but I'm just saying we need to get the word out because time is running short. Amen. Amen, brother. It is running short. And the sun is setting on this age. The age of Satan rule is almost done. Amen.
Come on.
Amen. So, hey, I got to tell the truth, doctor. Amen. So, watch this. Amen. So, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, amen, the control of the world system was handed over to Satan. So, go to 2 Corinthians.
All right.
Amen. Pray for me. I'm dealing with this. I don't know what it is. I'm dealing with the weather, or I don't know if it's the weather. I don't know what I'm dealing with. It just came over on me, brother. I woke up this morning. I'm like, man, what's going on? And it's just this weather. I just wish it just gets. So that's the one thing about Texas around the time from February to April is that weather has a tendency to dip into the 30s, and then it'll go up to the 60s, and from the 40s to the 70s, and that can kind of mess with your allergies and mess with you. Okay. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let's read verse 4 and see what it says.
All right.
Amen. It says, in whom the God of this world, who is the God of this world? Lucifer, Satan, the devil, had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Amen. See, you're not born saved. You're born an unbeliever. You're born not believing because why? You don't know Christ. So Satan he is lost. He know, hey, guys, look, we are going to the lake of fire. Ain't no bones about it. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts. But we might as well get as many souls as we possibly can to go to the lake of fire. Let's do this. Let's deceive man. Let's crisscross and mix it up and deceive as much as we can. Amen, brother. Amen.
Come on, brother.
Let's deceive people as much as we possibly can. Because you want to know why? They don't want to be in hell in the lake of fire by themselves. So they're going to have billions and billions of people going to the lake of fire. Amen.
Come on.
This is what we don't want. We don't want people to end up in here. We don't want people to end up in the lake of fire. We love you. We don't want to see nobody lost. But this is what's happening. Amen. Watch what he said. He said, at least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ.
Come on.
Who is the image of God, Yahweh,
woo,
should shine unto them.
Amen.
So the gospel that we are preaching is truth. See, this is the truth of what we're speaking. This is light, and light brings life. That's why the sun must shine so that we may have what? Life. That is an analogy that God made when he created the heavens and the earth. He created the sun to give us light, and that's why the sun rules the majority of the day is majority sunlight. Because to have life, we need what? Sunlight. Amen? So that was an analogy that God created in the beginning to reference what his word is. His son, the word of God, is what?
Come on.
Light. And it is life. And it's light because why? It shine, the truth is light. Because when you shine the light on something, that means you're telling the truth. And people don't want you, the devil don't want the light to be shined because it shows that he's a liar. Amen. He don't want you to know that he is a liar. So he said, hey, let me keep you in the darkness. I'm going to keep you blinded. And so how does he keep you blinded? He keep you blinded with entertainment, TV shows. That's how he keep you blinded. How does he keep you blind? He keep you blinded with games, all kind of sports events. Man, they got so many games out here. I ain't got so many games and sports. I ain't even never heard of some of this junk they got out here now. Amen. He said, well, what's another way to keep you entertained? Hey, devices. We got electronic devices. We going to and fro. Knowledge has been increased. So the closer to the time that we get to the return of Christ, he wants to deceive you with these different devices. What are these devices? You got the cell phones, the iPad, the computer, TV, amen, bro, TV, radio, any type of electronic device to deceive you, to keep your mind blinded, amen.
Come on.
He entertains you with all kind of TV shows, video games, events that are going on in the city tonight. They got concerts last week. They had cons, they had these rappers here and these artists here, different rappers and artists, different little artists that they had in town. Young people just out there just partying, drinking, getting drunk. He's got man blinded. And this is how Satan is keeping you drugged up and confused by keeping you entertained. He's keeping your mind blinded. Because because you already don't believe, he's going to keep you deceived. Amen. So you don't believe, so I got to keep you deceived. And the way I keep you deceived is that I'll get these entertainers, these famous people got money, they look good, they rich, they got beautiful things, and they're going to lie to you and say stupid, silly stuff like, oh, man, if you want to get into heaven, your grandmother can get you in. See, they tell people all kind of, and folks just, some folks just like just eating that up. Oh, yeah. No, that's a lie. From the pits of hell, these folks are paid by the so-called Illuminati and the so-called elites to lie to to get your soul into going. Because these folks already sold their soul. They don't care. They rich. They already believe not. They already delusional and heavily deceived. They've been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years, and they're going to keep you deceived. So they done got millions of dollars to take care of their family, to live a life, to do what they want to do. And what I mean do what they want to do, they are entertainers, meaning either they're actors, they're comedians, they're athletes, they're singers, they're rappers, they're in the music world. They are entertainers. Their job is to entertain, to do what they love doing. And they don't even have to be good at it. They don't even have to be the best at it. They just have to be an entertainer. They just have to be willing to sell their soul to the devil and entertain you. So why? So that you can be blinded. Amen?
Come on, preacher.
That's what's going on in the world. That is what's going on in the world. That is what's happening. Amen? Now watch what Paul said. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. Watch what it said. It said, for God, I'm almost through, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Amen. We thank him for shining in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Jesus Christ, Yahshua. Amen.
Amen.
Yahshua. Amen. But watch this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of Yahweh and not of us. Amen. You know what's funny, brother? The choir sung a song this past Sunday morning, and I said, boy, y'all was rocking. Y'all was jamming. And I can't remember how it goes. You know, I'm not a songstar or artist or anything. But the sister was saying something about excellency, excellent. And I said, man, excellence is the highest accolade that anyone can receive.
Come on, Richard.
An A+, excellence, the highest accolade. And that's what our Heavenly Father is. He is excellency. He is excellence of the power of God. Amen. That is made what? Amen. It's come from God. God is excellent. I'm not excellent. My Heavenly Father is. Now watch what it said. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Hallelujah.
But not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Yahshua. Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
That the life, there it is, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Brother, that scripture is so beautiful. That's exactly what I was talking about the other week when I was talking about eternal life. Because Christ, the life that's in him, the power that's in God, is going to sustain us for all eternity. You're going to get a brand new body. See, without God, so here's an analogy. Here's an example. In order for things to live, and to be at its best, we have to have sunlight. The sunlight surrounds us. Without sunlight, we wouldn't have life. Without sunlight, the trees wouldn't be pretty and green. The flowers wouldn't bloom. The animals, nothing on this earth could live without sunlight. So as long as the sun is in the sky, as long as the earth, there's got to be a sun. Because without the sun, there would be no life. So the analogy of that is that without a God, an excellent, everlasting God, there would be no what? No life.
Come
no
on.
Eternal life.
Come on.
We can have eternal life. We can have it more abundantly. We can have an excellent eternal life. Our life is going to be excellent when the trumpet sounds. We wouldn't have that. We would not have that access without that. And we are so grateful. We are just praising and blessing his holy name. We're grateful to God. Amen. For this opportunity to bring this word. I'm about to turn over to the brother at the top of the hour, but I had to share that because Satan wants to keep you what? Blinded. He wants to blind your mind. Amen.
Yeah.
As long as he can keep your mind occupied and blinded with worldly stuff, which is nothing but a bunch of junk, he got you. This is why so-called elite and the so-called Illuminati spends billions and billions and billions of dollars every year keeping people occupied. They feeding you the bad foods. They feeding your mind is bad, and they feeding your body bad. They want to keep you to see. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And none of this is going to end until Christ returns and put all of his enemies, starting with Satan at the top, and under Satan, the fallen angels, and under the fallen angels, the demons, and under the demons, the so-called elite, so-called Illuminati, and then it trickles down to your governments, your kings, your queens, your presidents, your people. It just breaks all the way down to your governments, and then you got your government agencies, you got your military people. You got your lawyers and people in your judicial system, and then you have your police officers and your military. This stuff, it all trickles down. The world, people keep saying, oh, this is Babylon. No. Babylon is the entire world system.
Yeah.
That's what it used to be. Amen, brother. Amen. It used to be an actual like used to be like Egypt, an actual country or actual kingdom or actual people. Now it's spread all over the world. It's ancient. But now its practices are behind the curtains and it's all over the world. Brother,
come on,
amen. Amen. Woo. This is what we're dealing with. But we are dealing with this world system that you're talking about. Amen. I just want to add to it. Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
This is what. Amen. Satan is just deceiving the world all kind of ways that he possibly can. Go ahead, doctor. I didn't mean to take so long. Go ahead,
man,
doctor.
Man, you turned it up. You got me heated up now. You got me heated up.
All glory be to the Most
thank
High.
The Lord for,
amen.
I thank the Lord for his love and mercy. I thank the Lord for an event. A situation came across me today. A young man came to my house that I had helped a year ago. He was on
Amen.
The street, and he didn't have nothing. He had a bunch of bags, and he didn't have nowhere to stay. And he came to my house and asked me, could I stay a couple of days? I said, yeah, you can stay 3 days. But, hey, amen. So I told him, you have to sleep in the garage. It wasn't cold. It was in the summertime. So he slept
amen.
In my garage. I talked to him and, told him about the Lord. And I said, man, you need Jesus in your life. And he said, yeah, I had a little teaching on that. I said, yeah. So I taught him and warned him to the Lord, and he accepted Christ. And I said, I'm going to take you down to my church, and I'm going to fill the pool up, and I'm going to baptize you. So I
Amen.
Went to fill the pool up, and I baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he stayed another couple of days. Then I told him, I said, well, you ought to be able to go to your relatives, because he had some relatives here, but he wasn't associating with them. I said, you need to get some help. You need to get your Social Security. He was all bangled up, man. And I prayed for him. And 8 months ago, he came to my house today, knocked on my door. And I said, well, look here. And that boy, the Lord straightened him up. He had clean clothes on. He had his hair brushed.
Oh, wow.
He had his teeth brushed. And he said, I thank you, Pastor Bizarre. I thank you for him. I said, man, I said, I'm glad you're here. He said, I said, you go to church? He said, yeah, I go to church. I said, well, you need to come down there where I am. Come on in Sunday. He said, I'll be there Sunday. And he knows where the
Amen.
Church at. I was just shouting. I was saying, hallelujah. He was about 20. He was about 24 years old.
Wow.
And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Million.
Thank young
you.
People, I don't know who's out there listening. You might be 45. You might be 65. You might be 35. I don't care what your age is, but we're just concerned about the young people because, let me tell you, they're flying to hell, man. I hate to see that, how they live and how
right.
they talk and how they walk. They're following the world. They're following these celebrities. They get on TV, and I know one named Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon, he gets on there and brag all about what he got and see all the women he got and how beautiful they are. Oprah Winfrey's another one. She's just said there's many ways to God. Oh, there's a lot of celebrities out there for Satan. They're working for that. They're
That's
on
it.
A 24/7 wake job. This is what they say. And what they use? They use beauty. They use money. They use sex. They use good time. They use the lust of the flesh. And the pride of life, that's what the devil live off of. Woo, listen to me. He's living off of that. And that's what the devil got the world to see because he what? He's the god of this age. He rules this age. And that's all
that's
he
right.
can rule. He can't rule the universe. He can't rule the quasars. He can't control no weather. He can't control the earth turning around on nothing at 17.5 miles a second. He has no power to do that. The only thing he had power enough to do is three things the devil can do. Good God Almighty. He can kill. He can rob.
That's right.
And steal. That's the only thing he can do.
That's it.
He can do it no other way. And he do it through deception. And when people, when the family is broken up, when children are born without a mama, without a daddy, when they're born without even a mother and don't have nobody to train, take them to
That's
church,
right.
they grow up absent from the church of God and don't get no biblical teachings. And then when they get 15 and 16 years old, they don't know nothing about the word of God. And that's why you got a lot of young men in jail at 12 years old in jail. My God, what kind of age are you living in? We got young women having babies at 10 years old, 11 years
Come
old.
On,
why? Because they don't have no training. The devil said, I'm going to destroy everybody I can. And you know what he's doing? Excuse my language. He's giving God the middle finger. So I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna make sure my demons rape them. I'm gonna make sure they have porn. I'm gonna make sure they got cell phone. I'm gonna make sure they get on the computer and pick up a stranger and then they'll rape me. I'm gonna get you Yahweh. God's looking at me, you crazy. You ain't getting nothing that I don't want, because if I want them, I can get them. If they want me, I can save them. Uh-oh. You mean to tell me God can't save you if you don't want to be saved? God can't save you.
Right.
You can't repent if you want to repent. And God, I'll send you the Holy Spirit to convict you. I'll send you the Holy Spirit to let you know. Amen. I love you. I love you so much. I gave my only begotten son that whosoever believeth in me shall never perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. I'm going to go to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. Oh, man, my. I'm going to show you something that you ain't going to believe in the word of God. And that's what I'm coming. 28th chapter of Ezekiel gives an explanation of Lucifer. He says in the 28th chapter, the 11th verse, Holy Ezekiel called out and said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. Now, he's speaking to the king of Tyrus, but the king of Tyrus was influenced by Lucifer. You understand?
Right.
Lucifer was in with the influence of the king of Tyrus. Thus says the Lord God, thou sealest up the psalm full of wisdom, perfect in what? Beauty. Have you ever heard of perfect beauty? You mean God made Lucifer with perfect beauty? Yes, he did. He was perfect in beauty. He looked good. He walked good. He talked good. He could think good. Now listen, the second verse. Now this is the Bible now. This is the Bible. He said, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, there's an Eden in heaven and there's an Eden on earth. And said, Lucifer has been in the garden of Eden of God, every precious stone. Listen, every precious stone was thy covering. Sardis, topaz, diamonds, beryl, ox, jasper, sapphire, emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tarvis. In other words, he had music in it. Oh, he had every instrument that you see on the face of the earth today was instilled in Lucifer. When he walked, music would come out of him. When he would talk in a way that what? Woo! It would give God, he would give God the praise. And when he would give God the praise, guess what? He would jump up. God would say, yes, praise me, praise me. All the angels in heaven would praise him. But Lucifer got so big-headed and what? This is what it says. He said, the gold and the workmanship of thy tarvis, of thy pipes. He had pipes in it.
That's prepared
in the day that thou was created. Creation means take nothing and speak nothing into existence. That's creation.
Right. God, amen.
God spoke. Oh, good God Almighty. What kind of God we serve? He can speak nothing into existence.
That's right. When
Lucifer nothing, never thought of, God spoke him into existence, and he gave him beauty. He gave him diamonds. He gave him gold. He gave him silver. He was a slickeroo. He was dressed to kill. He was dressed more than the Board of Health had to shut down, because he was a cool joker. He knew how to walk. He knew how to dance. He knew how to praise God. He knew all that. He said, thou art the anointed cherub, which means anointed cherubim that covers. And I have set thee so that thou wast up on the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Man, that dude was up in heaven. He was in heaven. He was in the Ooh, he seen what God had created before he was created. He looked at that and said, wow, my God. Have you ever seen the mountain? Have you ever seen a snow-capped mountain? Have you ever seen at night the stars set in the sky? Have you ever seen the sun rise? Have you ever seen the sunset? Have you ever seen a rainbow? Good God Almighty, God is a great designer, and he knows what he's doing. But Lucifer got the big head, and listen what happened in the 15th verse. He said, thou was perfect in thy way from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. What was found in thee? Pride brought him down. Pride brought him down. What brought pride? Beauty. People who are good looking, they got pride. They got self-righteousness. They got they put themselves better than other people. Rich people mostly. The Illuminati, the Rothschild, Jews,
right.
Put themselves in a place, and that's a blessing that God gave the Jews, because he gave that without repentance. There's a Jewish sect called the Kabbalists. And they deny Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of homemade backyard organizations and secret societies in the government, in the military, in every aspect of the Babylonian Empire. And there has been empires up on the earth. And guess who's the instructor? Guess who's the designer? It's Lucifer. He called Egypt. Against God. Look at the Assyrian Empire. It went down. Look at the Babylonian Empire. It went down. Look at the Median Persian Empire. It went down. Look at the Grecian Empire. It went down. Look at the Roman Empire. It went down. Why? Because it was based on the analogy and the philosophy of false worship. They will worship all kind of gods. They wouldn't worship the true God. And that's what devil wants. He wants America to turn their back on God. And Americans almost have turned their back on God because they went after the abomination in the filthiness of the earth. They have turned against the prayers in the school. They have turned against the home, the basic Christian home. They have turned from the natural use of sex and turned into homosexual and gender. They have turned into lesbianism. They have turned into infliction of self-righteousness as far as having sex with animals and sodomites. The world of America is abominable. But God said, I still got some born-again believers in the midst of all this. And that's why the world is standing now, because the saints of God are still here on earth. And my God, and we preachers that said that we're preaching, we ought to stand up against all the iniquity and all the sin that the world is enjoying. And tell the people it's Jesus Christ, it's Jesus Christ, it's Jesus Christ, and nothing but Jesus Christ. Listen, as we get ready to close on this, it says, by the multitude of thy merchandise. And, you know, Satan now owns the world for temporarily. And I can prove to you that he claims that he owns the world. Jesus was taken up on the mount of temptation, and at the last offer that Satan had him, he said, now look, dude. You call yourselves the son of God, and it is written, you know, you're supposed to be doing all this stuff. Now, I tell you what I want you to do for me. If you will fall down, and this is Lucifer, but now he's Satan. This is Satan talking to Jesus, saying, if you will fall down on your knees and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. That's Luciferians, that's Illuminati spirit. That spirit is in the world today, and people literally is selling their souls to the devil.
That's right.
Look at all the horror pictures that's coming on TV. Look at all the witchcraft. Look at all the abominable things. Look at all the magicians and all the witchery that's going on in the world. They got so many wicked programs on TV today. It's deprogramming our youth. It's messing up some of the elderly people. Man, I tell you, the devil's putting out all his propaganda, and he's got people in confusion. Why? To keep you away from what? What he's trying to keep you away from? He's trying to keep you away from true repentance. He's trying to keep you away from the blood of Christ. He's trying to keep you away from the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's keeping you from trying to come to Jesus Christ. So he's putting all this deception in front of you. And guess what? The world is sucking it up. And the Bible already done said, the fifth chapter of Isaiah 14th verse, it says, hell, H-E-L-L, has enlarged itself. Hell is big now. Paradise is empty now. And since paradise is empty now, hell has enlarged itself. And now those that was in paradise before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, now they're in heaven because after the resurrection of Jesus
Amen.
Christ, all the ones that was in paradise, the Old Testament saints, he took them out. And then now the saints of God that died, they don't go to paradise in the heart of the earth. They go in the presence of God Almighty. So when you go to heaven, if you die in Jesus Christ, look at what I'm trying to tell you. Young people, if you die in Jesus Christ and give your life to Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D. And the devil gets mad. Lord have mercy. He gets so mad when a soul comes to Jesus Christ. He gets mad because he's a devil that's doomed for hell, the lake of fire. And let me tell you, it is hot down there. And I don't have to have a vision.
Amen.
I don't have to have nobody to tell me. And I know one person's already told me. And I believe him with all my heart. And that is Jesus Christ. Woo! Jesus Christ already told us more times than he told us about hell than he did about heaven. And he said, flee from the wrath to come. He said, now look, I told you about the event that happened to the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus said, give me a little food. Let me go into your garbage can. I need some food. My clothes are shabby. I'm hungry. I got sores all over me. I'm crawling on the ground. The dogs are licking my sores. And I don't have nowhere to go. Could you store me up for a few days? And the rich man looked at Lazarus and told the servant, get him out of here. Don't want it. Get him out of here. I can't stand that old man. Oh, man. Get him out of here or I'm going to get him out myself. Let me tell you, young people, let me tell you something. You might be on fire now. You might have all kind of energy. You may be looking good. Young girl, you may be switching that thing all around. You may have wear your high heels, put your lipstick on, have your breasts cut down to the low where you can say, look what I got. I got this man. You may be doing that now, but let me tell you one thing. Let me tell you one thing now. I'm going to tell you one day you're going to die. You're going to die. And when you die, if you die without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, without being redeemed, without being sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption, if you die, I guarantee you the man that went to hell, because he died, because number one, it was time for him to die. And when he died, they tell me Lazarus died, and some angels came down here and got him and took him to Abraham's bosom. Woo! That's where I'm on my way. If I would die today, I know it for a fact. Woo! Nobody can change my mind. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm serving the Lord. I give my life to serve the Lord and to tell somebody that you don't want to go to hell for nobody, not your mama, not your daddy, not your sister, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your dog, or not your cat. You don't want to go to hell because in hell you'll lift up your eyes. Why? Because you haven't received Jesus. It ain't what you've done, because we all have sinned. It ain't what you've done. People say, if I take drugs, I go to hell. Not necessarily. If you haven't got your sins forgiven, you go to hell. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you go to hell. But
Right. Everybody
that goes to hell, they're going to hell for one sin. One sin. What is that sin, Brother Bazaar? What did the Bible say? What that one sin is? Oh, I thought if I stole and got put in jail, I would go to hell. What the one sin, Bazaar? Where did you find it at? It's in the Word of God. Because the one sin that that will put you in hell 100% is rejection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You reject his suffering. You reject his birth. You reject his miracles. You reject him hanging on the cross. You reject him bowing his head and dying and going to hell. You reject his resurrection. And you said, I don't want that junk. I don't need that. I'm having a good time. I'm partying. I got four or five boyfriends, man. I got a car. I got money. I got a shape. And the man said, look at my chest. I got a big chest, man. My legs are strong. But let me tell you, keep on living. Keep on living. Because time will catch up with you. And when time get to putting his fingerprints in your face, and your face begin to change, your hair turns white, you lose your hair, your legs get weak. Good God Almighty, now what you going to do? You're going to die old and go to hell and then live partly through hell. Please don't go to hell. Satan wants your soul. Satan wants your soul. And when that rich man died, he talked to Abraham and said, Abraham, could you tell Lazarus to go come down here and start by the oasis water fountain and put just a little tip of water on the tip of his finger, on the tip of his finger, and come down here and touch my tongue, for this flame is tormenting me. You see, when you go to hell, you ain't going to the lake of fire. You're going to a pit where there's fire. And you can see, you can hear, you can listen, you can have your memory, you can smell, you can taste, and you are going to find out that, look, this is real. When will a person become an unbeliever? When will an unbelieving person become a believer? I tell you when they go to hell, because when you go to hell, you can say, oh, my God, why did I listen? Whoa, I thought the devil was telling me the truth. And what the devil had to give me, it was good. That boyfriend that I was, he was kissing me good. He was rubbing me good. That felt good. And I said, no, I want some of this before I repent of my sins. And guess what? If you don't repent and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you'll be there with the rich man. And by the way, the rich man is still in hell right now. And he's been in there over 2,000 years, and he's still crying, and the flame is still roaring. And there's millions and millions and millions and millions of people in hell right now saying, I believe now, but it's too late. It's too late. And that's a sad word, too late, because many people could have gotten saved, but they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe them old two preachers. They get on the internet and preach, say Jesus and him crucified and preach about hell. They won't preach about Revelation. They won't preach about the rapture. They won't preach about the Antichrist. They preached about that until I got sick of it. But now I know they were telling the truth. Because let me tell you something. If I don't tell the truth, and if Brother Timothy don't tell the truth on this internet, guess what? Your blood is on my hand, and I don't want your blood to be on my hand because I didn't tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth right now. Whoever listened to me, whoever listened to Brother Tim, we're telling the truth. We're telling you biblically what the Bible says. And if you would read the 28th chapter, a little more of it, I'm not going to read too much of it, but you'll find out that this man had all kind of coverings and all this music that you hear today, if it ain't got Jesus in it, and if it ain't got maybe a human experience in it, because some people sing songs with human experience in it, that don't mean it's of the devil. It's just of a world experience you have. But all this shit cussing and lying and rapping and tapping and shouting and all this stuff is not necessarily belong to God, because God does everything in decent and in order. Anytime you find stuff out of order, it's not of God. And when people get on TV and mark the Bible and talk about they can get to heaven. They're blaspheming God, telling that my mama can get me in heaven. Whoever it was, he's a lying one. He's a servant of Satan, because Satan is a liar. And the Bible says, if a man confess not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh, he is a antichrist and he is a liar. And we got a whole lot of antichrist. Antichrist means to show authority over God and to deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. Whenever a person come to you and tell you that he does not believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, he's not of God, he's Antichrist. And Antichrist is known to the devil because the devil knows who Jesus Christ was. Woo! And the demons today is working 24/7. And he's working against who? He's getting the young folks. He ain't worried about too much the elderly people or worried about the middle-aged people, because he said, look, I got them. They ain't accept Jesus Christ yet. And they all in the system, and they believe, you know, because they live 40, 50 years and go to church, I'm going to heaven. That's a lie. You ain't going to heaven through the church. Right. You're going to heaven through the cross. You're going to heaven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Peter said there's no other name given among men, whereby anybody could be saved. You can have 30,000 religions, and the religions will drive you right on the hell. But if you have not been washed in the blood of the royal Lamb of God, and you die, and young folks are dying. Young folks are dying.
Right.
15,
Amen.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They die right on down the line in the street. Killing, murdering, and the brother was saying he does a Uber, and he's seen so many people take drugs. But in my day, I seen it. I never took the drugs. I seen it, but it wasn't like it's today. Everybody I just by look at now, hey man, got some drug, sipping on something. Lord, have mercy. My friend, let me tell you something. Whoever you are, wherever you are, the rapture is not far away. The rapture is not far away. Satan knows that. And remember, Satan knows more than you. And you ain't no competition against Satan without Jesus Christ. You ain't got a chance. You ain't got a chance to overthrow Satan without Jesus Christ. I ain't got a chance. If I didn't have Christ in my life, woo, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, washed in his blood. If I didn't have that in me, I ain't talking about around me. I ain't talking about on top of my head. I don't sit on it. I'm talking about in me. I wouldn't be here. If I be, I'd be out in the street. If I would be street, I'd be a drug or alcoholic or a skirt chaser. Woo, come on now. I know that for a fact. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And I know Brother Tim got the same spirit that I got, because we're preaching the same thing. The same thing. We love the same God. We ain't twisting each other up. We're going with the scriptures. And as long as you go with the scripture, I know we are right. And what we want you to do is that you need to get right. Because we ain't got too much long. And I'm going to give it over to the brother in about 5 minutes. But I do want to say this. The rapture of the church is getting ready to happen. We're in the church of Laodicea now. We're in the lukewarm, dead, half dead and half alive. Neither hot or cold. Jesus Christ said, I'll beat you out of my mouth. And that's what's going on today. People ain't going to church. People ain't on fire no more. Preachers ain't on fire. They need to change their name to Dr. Frost. They so cold. They ain't got no fire in them. The choir don't
come on,
like the preacher don't preach like they used to. The sisters don't even shout like they used to.
Come on, God. Man, you better tell it.
They don't treat each other like they do when
they
I was
sure
coming.
Don't.
They carry guns to church now. They carry clubs to church. They got dope in their pocket. In case the sermon ain't too good, they'll sniff on that and try to get something out of the sermon. The preacher's up there punking young men and going in the back office playing whatever they playing. They playing with each other. And then get out on the pool talking about we wanna have a program for so and so. You ain't doing nothing. You're lukewarm. You need a hot or cold. Sisters sisters in the church looking for to get a preacher in trouble. Preacher ain't got enough strength to say, now listen, lady, you gonna have to come look dressed a little better than that. Come on now. You ain't at the hub. You ain't down there at the beer joint. You ain't down there at the striptease. You in the house of God. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. This is your reason. Look like you know somebody. But the way you dress, and I ain't saying dress because you're not to have salvation, but come on now. You represent who? You're supposed to be representing Jesus Christ. And the world is saying, this is a new style now. But I'm going to tell you something. We are going to be accountable for everything we've done. But now we're living in Laodicea. The next event, chapter in the book of Revelation, after the third chapter, John said, I saw in the fourth chapter, I looked up and beheld, I was caught up in the spirit at the throne of the judgment seat of Christ. And John was saying, I'm going to be a signifier, and I'm going to signify you when the church is going to be raptured up. And the church was raptured up in the fourth chapter of Revelation. The church is gone. And after the church is gone, guess what? The church will be in heaven. And we will be judged for the works we have done. While here on earth, the Antichrist will rise. And when it rises, it will rise on a peace platform. Because the world now is sick of Biden. They sick of Obama. They say they sick of Trump. They sick of the Bushes. They sick of world dictators coming on the scene. They sick of Putin. They sick of all these world leaders trying to play God. But when the Antichrist comes, good God Almighty, they're going to fall head over heels over a man because he's going to be just what they want to hear. And they're going to hear peace. The Jews are going to say, yes, this is the Messiah. But the church will not be here. My friends, if you would die tonight, I'll say it in a way, kick the bucket. If you slip on a banana peeling or whatever, if you fall down the steps, if somebody shoots you and you don't know Jesus Christ as a pardon of your sins, you will definitely lift up your eyes in hell. Don't be like that. Jesus Christ said, come to me. Come to me. Jesus Christ said, I love you. Jesus Christ said, I died for you. I died for your whoremonger. I died for your adultery. I died for your smoking the joint. I died for your hatred. I died for your racial injustice and your prejudice. I died for that. I was beaten beyond my recognition. When you looked at me hanging on the cross, you wouldn't be able to bear it. A camera couldn't even take a picture of it. It was so mutilated. And yet, he didn't say a mumbling word. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The death of Jesus Christ is the deepest event that ever happened. How could God himself let himself be slain in the flesh and die and go to hell and preach to those in prison and get up? Oh, Lord, help me. And get up on his own power and said, now I got all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And when he said, I got all power, I got power enough to save your soul from sin, death, hell, and the grave. You need to confess tonight. You need to come to Jesus Christ. Don't think you're going to go to church and then go on to heaven. You got to stop by Calvary. Apostle Paul said, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God Almighty raised himself from the dead. And when he would raise his son himself from the dead, he came in a glorified body. No more blood. Huh? No, he had a heart, but that heart didn't have no beat. It, it, it's glorified. It's all spirit. But I'm flesh and spirit now. But one day, this mortal body, it hurts me sometimes. I get sleepy sometimes. I get weary sometimes. That's a mortal body. But one of these days, this mortal body will be changed, and I'll become and have a body like Jesus Christ. And I'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I'm gone. Bye-bye, world. And I want somebody out there to go with me. I want somebody out there to go with me. And the only thing you got to do is repent of your sin. Be sorry for what you've done against a holy God, a righteous God, a loving God, a merciful God, a God that loves you so much. Man, he's waiting for you to come to him. He's wooing you. He's talking to you. And he's telling you, you need to come to him. You need to repent of your sins. And if you think you ain't done nothing, you're on lies right there. So you need to repent. If I tell you I haven't sinned, that's a lie. I don't know. I had an evil thought today. I had a wrong attitude today. But I don't practice sin. I love the Lord too much to sin against him. You need him today. Don't die without him. Don't die without him. You can die without insurance. You can die without
him.
You can die without a whole lot of things. But look, don't die without Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't die without him. Because if you die without him, guess what? I'm going to give it to the brother. If you die without him, you got to pay for your own sin. And the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. Wages of sin is death. And if you practice in sin, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you got to get paid one day. And the payment is damnation into hell and pay for your sins forever because you never can pay for them. But here comes Jesus. He paid for it all. Confess with your mouth today. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You need him. You need him. Don't go to bed tonight. And if you go to bed with a conviction, get out of bed, get on your knees, say, Lord, save me. I need you, Lord. I need you bad. And guess what? The Lord will save you, and he'll direct you. And you can get baptized. And the baptism represents, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to give it straight to the brother. The baptism with the water represents the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You go down in the water, a natural man. When you come up out of the water, you come up a born-again believer. Well, you got born again before you got blood, but now you're showing your identity with the burial, death, and the resurrection. You're telling the world, I'm putting on the badge of Christianity. I'm putting on the badge of Christ in my life to be a representative for him. So when you die, I'm going on to glory. God bless you, brother. Roll on with it.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
I'm going to be the Most High God. Amen. Actually, amen. I got to get ready to go. Amen. But I just want to say this real quick. Amen. Before I leave. Amen. I want to share with you real quick. Amen. Salvation. Amen. Is free. Amen.
Yes,
salvation
sir.
Is for all eternity.
It's free.
Because we've already showed you scriptures, and we've proved by the blood of our Lord and Savior, amen, that he will sustain you. He has the power. Amen, because he has the keys of death and hell in his hands. Amen. So in other words, death will not reign in eternity. Hell will not reign in eternity. Amen. Those who reject Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. This is a guarantee for my Lord and Savior. Amen. And we want you to know that you are safe in his arms. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Amen. I will be back. We got this Saturday coming up. Amen. I will be back on. Oh, I'm sorry. Say again.
You'll be back on Saturday at 7.
Yes, sir.
Six,
yes, sir. Saturday at 6 yeah, Central, 7 East Coast. Amen. We will be back on the air. Then we'll be back on the air Sunday, right? Amen.
Yes, sir. Right, 5 to 7.
Right. Okay, 5 o'clock East Coast, and amen, 4 o'clock Central. Amen. I will be back on the
right,
air.
Right.
Amen. Right now, if I'm gonna get some medicine in me, and hopefully, I probably need to go and lay down. Amen. But I enjoyed it. Amen, brother. This was wonderful. This was good. I want to keep reaching as many souls as we possibly can. Because as we say,
amen,
we continue to say, we don't want nobody to be lost. Amen. But I'm going to get out of here because I got to go. Amen. But
right.
I love you, brother. And I will be
love
in touch with you on tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. And I'll try to listen in as long as I can. Amen. But God bless you. Amen. Amen. I just want to share a quick scripture real quick if I can before I go. Amen. Some just a quick, few quick scriptures. Amen. Romans the 8th chapter. Amen. The 39th verse. Romans the 8th chapter, verse 39. Where Paul said, "No height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Satan can't separate.
Amen.
The fallen angels can't separate you.
Come on.
The demons can't separate you.
Can't do it.
Amen. The unbelievers, the rejecters of Christ can't do it. Not even you yourself can separate yourself from the love of God. That is how powerful God is. Nothing. And I mean nothing.
Nothing,
Paul didn't say anything can separate it from. So what's his love? What once he loves you and you receive salvation and you're in his arms, can't nothing take you from Christ.
Come
amen.
On.
Nothing.
Come on, preacher. Nothing
can take you from Christ. Amen. And I'm gonna share this one last verse, and I'm gonna be done. Go over to St. John. St. John. Some of you know it as just John, but I call it St. John. I'm from the school. St. John, the 10th chapter, amen. And I'm just going to read verse 28. St. John, the 10th chapter, verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never," see that?
Come
"never
on.
Perish." That means once saved, always saved. You can never lose your salvation because just
on,
above that, he says, "I give unto them eternal life." What is eternal life? That's your salvation. You're going to live for all eternity. So if I'm going to live for all eternity, and he said that I have eternal life, he gives it to me, and I shall never perish. Well, to perish means to be separated from God. That's what perish means. Either you're going to be with him or you're going to be separated from him. And if you're separated from him, that means that you have no salvation. But he said that you shall never perish. Watch what it says.
Come on.
"Neither shall any man," including
me,
myself.
Come on.
"Any man pluck them out of my hand." Nobody has the power. Amen. You are in God's hand. And know that when you are in God's hand, you are safe. No one has the power to pluck you away from Christ. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. I will be back on the earth this Saturday. Brother, God bless you. And we'll
God
be in
bless
touch.
You
all have a
all right.
wonderful night.
All
hoping
right.
something
all
is
right.
there to bless everyone. I know brother's going to finish it up. Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for Brother Tim. Thank God for giving us the opportunity to break this word down. I'm going to have the next 15 minutes. I want to let you know, I want to ask you a question out there, those that listen to me. What have the devil ever done for you? What have the devil ever done for you? He ain't done nothing for you. I can tell you that he ain't done nothing for you. And he won't do nothing for you. And the reason why he won't do nothing for you, because he won't do nothing for himself, and he can't do nothing for himself. He is lost. He's done. But let me tell you something. There's somebody. I know somebody. I know somebody that can do everything for me. I know somebody that never fails. I know somebody that's eternal. I know somebody ever loving. Oh, my God. Listen to what this says in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah. Now, here's what you should be serving. Here's what you should put your trust in. Listen, Isaiah wrote 12 verses in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah about what? The suffering and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ 700 years before it happened. And it was promised all the way back from the Garden of Eden, from the time that God told Adam and Eve. He said, he told Satan, I'm going to set a seed between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. He was talking about what? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for me, suffered for me, whipped for me, rebuked. He was spat upon for me. If you don't want to claim that, ooh, shame on you. For me, a sinner, lost, undone, wretched. He took time out of eternity and spent 33 years in the space of time. And when he did that, he did it for me. Not only me, but for the whole round world. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and everyone that dwelleth therein. And he sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants of is as grasshoppers. I'm a little old small grasshopper made out of the dust of the ground. Breathed into my nostrils, became a living soul. This soul is forever. I got a soul to be saved. Jesus Christ saved my soul, and he can save yours tonight. But look what he done. 53rd chapter of Isaiah. This is what Jesus done for me. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded. Good God Almighty, for what? Our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I'm healed. My soul is healed. My body is healed. My mind is healed. Ooh, good God Almighty. This is what God done for me. I don't know why you won't claim it. I'm claiming it tonight. I'm claiming it over and over again. All we like sheep have gone astray. We all turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, God Almighty. Listen, he laid every low-down sin I ever done. Lying, cheat, backbiting, whoremongering, adultery. He nailed it to the cross, brothers and sisters. He nailed it to the cross. Don't let nobody tell you that he didn't nail it to the cross. It's already forgiven. Only thing you got to do is come on to him and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. Quit letting the devil take this away from you. Quit letting the devil prevent you from coming to Jesus Christ and humble yourself and admit that you need a Savior. You need a Savior. You need somebody that can keep you. You need somebody that can love you. Because the world ain't going to love you, honey. No, 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 no. If you're a child of God, you ain't going to have too many friends. But I got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Listen, he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked. Good Lord. Jesus Christ went in the grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. He was a perfect, sinless sacrifice. Perfect, sinless sacrifice for our sin. He knew no sin, but he became a sin offering. He became an atonement for our sin. He became a He became a sin barrier. He took your sin, your lying self, backbiting, racial hatred, hate in your heart, malice in your heart, lust in your heart, all kinds of mess. He did all that and became that. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for what? Sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Jesus Christ is the key in these last and evil days, for he is coming back again in power and in great glory. He is coming next big international, national, worldwide event that's going to hit the planet real soon is the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church, I believe with my heart, with my mind, with my soul, before this year is out, I believe, this is what I believe in looking for and hoping for, Jesus Christ is going to rapture the church. And when he raptures the church, the world is going to go into chaotic condition. The Antichrist will come. And after the Antichrist will come, a war will occur. And this war is the red horse in the book of Revelation at the sixth chapter, the third verse. John said, I saw a red horse, and he took peace from the earth. This represents the invasion of Gog and Magog upon Israel, and God is going to stomp his feet, shake himself, and roar out of Zion and let the world know there's a God in heaven, an eternal God, a God of mercy, a God of love, and a God of compassion. But now judgment is coming. He said, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. My friends, this is Elder G. Bazard. Let me tell you something. This is serious business. This is God's business, that I get the word out and let you know. Prepare yourself to meet Jesus Christ real soon. Prepare yourself. If you don't get caught up in the rapture, you're going to have to meet that infamous Antichrist. And he will deceive many. He will claim that he is Jesus Christ. And he will rule the world for 7 years and come on the scene as a police platform. And the world will what? Believe and accept him as being Jesus Christ. And he will not be Jesus Christ. He will be the Antichrist. He will be anti-God, anti-holy, anti-righteous, anti-love, anti-mercy. He will deceive many worlds, many people, when he tells the world that he's going to make a peace treaty with Israel. And Israel will accept him. And Israel will build a temple. And this temple is the third temple that the Jews will build. It won't be the last temple, but because of this temple being defiled by the Antichrist during the millennium reign, Jesus Christ is going to build his temple. And his temple is found in the 40th chapter to the 48th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And this temple is where the Lord is going to sit in Jerusalem and rule the world for 1,000 years, the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. But first, Satan has to be put in the bottomless pit. And from the bottomless pit, he's going to be put in Gehenna. And Gehenna is hell. And all the wicked dead, from the beginning of Adam all the way to the end of the millennium reign, all the wicked dead that died without Jesus Christ in their life will stand before the great white throne, and the books will be opened, and another book will be opened, and they tell me God is going to cause the earth to flee away, and they're going to be standing out in the middle of the universe, millions of people from the beginning of creation all the way until the end of the millennium reign. And they're going to be judged out of the books that will be opened. And when they open the books, those that's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. Don't go to hell. Run to the cross. Fall down on your knees and call on the name of the mighty name of the mighty name of Jesus Christ, because he can save you in a twinkling of an eye, because there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't you know, without blood in your physical body, you can't live? If your blood is drained out of your body, you will die. Your soul will be separated from your body. And your blood will be running on the ground. You will die. No human being can live without physical blood. Can't do it. There's no other fluid that you can put in your body to live a physical life. And Jesus Christ, listen to me. Jesus Christ came down here and shed his blood, that through his blood you can be changed by his blood, because the soul is in the blood. When Christ died, he opened a fountain, and that fountain was opened by the blood, and through the blood, the Spirit has now power to save you, and that's why the Bible says, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are spiritually dead. You're cut off from God. The only way you can be reconciled back to God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Don't go to bed tonight without Christ. Come to him right now. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and admit that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God, thou shalt be saved. Your soul will be saved by the blood. The soul is in the blood. And if the soul is in the blood, let the Spirit come in. Confess. When you confess, the Spirit will wash you in his blood. He don't pay the price. Christ is not going to come down here no more and die for humanity. He died once and for all. Come on in. Jesus loves you. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. The book of books and life of life. The word of God is right, because it was written by holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's no mistakes. Money ain't going to get you to heaven. Your looks ain't going to get you to heaven. Your status quo, your genealogy ain't going to get you to heaven. Nothing can get you to heaven but Jesus Christ. Come to Christ right now. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you right now for your love, your mercy. Somebody out there that needs to know you, let them repent right now. Let them turn from their wicked ways. Let them confess with their